Living a life that depicts the teachings of Islam is the dream of every Muslim. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, is in collaboration with Muslim Public Affairs Center, NPAC. Everyday Muslim will address the misconceptions on Islam, foster a peaceful coexistence, and guide the everyday Muslim on the journey in Islam. Everyday Muslim, Saturdays 11 a.m. on Women Radio 91.7, simplified understanding of the deen.
Shaitan Rajim, Bismillah Rahman Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, Wassalatu Wassalam ala Rasulillahi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wassalam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Listeners at home, I am Abdul Hakim Qasim, and I welcome you to another edition of Everyday Muslim Show on Women Radio 91.7 FM. Today is Saturday, the 7th of September 2024, corresponding to the 3rd of Rabi'ul Awwal, 1446 AH. On this program, Everyday Muslim, we try to address misconceptions about Islam, force a peaceful coexistence within the society, and guide the everyday Muslim on their journey in Islam. You are welcome to the month of Rabiul Awwal, the month of the birth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Holy Prophet, in his tradition, one of it, he said, "Play with them for the first 7 years of their life, then teach them for the next 7 years. Then advise them for the next 7 years and after that." That is the message from Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He also says that when a person dies, his records of deeds are closed except on three things: flowing charity, beneficial knowledge, and righteous offspring praying for him. Today, inshallah, I'll be taking a look at parenting in Islam with a focus on raising righteous children. And our guest for today is Hajia Fatima Oriyomi Samuel. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Naam, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin. You are very much welcome, and thank you for joining us on Everyday Muslim.
Thank you for having me. Assalamu alaikum to every listener.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. For those of you that probably who don't know who Hajia Fatima Samuel is, She is Hajia Fatima Riyomi Samuel. She is the lead consultant and counseling therapist at the Ripple Effect Consult. With over 20 years of experience, she is an education management consultant, therapist, and mentor coach dedicated to empowering individuals in both formal and informal settings. Her firm, the Ripple Effect Consult, focuses on providing faith-driven comprehensive psychosocial support services in the education sector, particularly in faith-based schools. Hajia Fatima Samuel specializes in emotional intelligence, education management consulting, and child and adolescent counseling therapy. She is an advocate for mental wellness in schools and works to establish functional counseling departments and curricula that promote academic and personal growth. Through her firm, she and her team they empower educators, counselors, and social workers with training and development opportunities, focusing on student well-being and success. Her dedication has earned her memberships in prestigious professional organizations, and she is committed to creating safe, supportive learning environments where individuals can thrive. So, once again, welcome Hajia Fatima Samuel to Everyday Muslim. You are very much welcome, ma'am. So, like I said earlier, we are considering on the program today parenting in Islam with a focus on raising righteous children. So we'll talk about children. We know they are the gift from God, and everybody, you know, let me not say everybody now because the world is changing. You know, we have some people that even say that they are not even interested in actually raising kids. So, so let me not make that, generalization. So, but in Islam, so what are the fundamental principles of parenting, and how can they help, you know, us in raising righteous children?
Thank you for having me. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واربطة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. Now, that's a very big question. Like you've said, it's not everybody that is really interested in you know, having children, let alone raising them. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, we are Muslims. And as Muslims, we are guided. We thank Allah for the grace of life, the grace of Deen, the grace of knowledge, health, and even the children Allah has blessed us with. First, I would say that fundamental principles where I will start from is that one, as a parent that is a Muslim, we know that it is
Yes, as much as we might focus on Muslim, parenting is something that is actually general. So I actually want us to actually consider everybody. Yeah, we're only looking at it from the perspective of Islam, but the issue of parenting concerns everyone. So probably want us to be more, open in the way we approach this topic.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
That is taken in. Okay, so parenting, number one, is a trust.
Yeah.
Trust, when I mean trust, yes, the children are a gift to us by the Creator. That means they are entrusted upon us. That means that when you have something entrusted upon you, you need accountable. To take care of it. You need to take care of it very, very well. Nurture it to the best of your ability and capability. Finding balance in whatever you're doing. So when I was saying relating it to Islam, because as Muslims we know that when Allah has entrusted something upon you, you are going to be questioned about it.
Absolutely.
You are going to be questioned about it. So when you know that you have that behind you, at the back of your mind, that Allah is going to question you about what He has given you, whether as sustenance, whether as children, what have you done with them? How have you been able to raise them and nurture them so that they also can, you know, continue what you have done and learn further and so also procreate and have better offspring? So the fundamental things in Islam, it is very, very general and very, you know, it's very given upon us by what Islam has said, which is that, first of all, when you know and have the mindset that it's a trust upon you, you have to do your best.
Okay.
Then you have to role model good morals. I start off, first of all, starting by letting your children know what oneness of Almighty Allah is.
Okay.
You have to let them have an understanding of what Allah, who Allah is, what Allah wants of us, why Allah has created us. That tawhid must be there. You need to not only tell them or teach them, you need to also model it as a parent. Because they say the children learn from us. Consciously, subconsciously, they are learning from you.
So it's not just about our words.
It's not your words. It's what you model to them, what you show them. So if you're telling them Allah is one, in everything that you're doing, you have to see, you have to show it that Allah is one. In your relationship with them, you have to be very compassionate. Because even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to us that anyone that is a part of us has to be compassionate with children.
Yes.
They are learning from you.
Yes.
So the fundamental thing for me that I would say is for you, first of all, understand as a parent that they are a trust upon you and Allah will ask you about them. Then you begin to model. Teach them what oneness of Almighty Allah is. And model it. Don't just say it. Act upon it in everything that you're doing. Even with the children themselves. Because they see, they hear, and they know. So even if you're saying A and you're doing B, they know that, ah, one way or the other, mommy is saying something and she's doing something else. Or daddy is doing something and he's saying something else. Now, so besides that, So besides that, after role modeling, after teaching them about the oneness of Allah, is, you know, putting them, connecting them with the right set of people. It is very important.
Those they associate with.
Those they associate with, they see who you also associate with. So you are picking from you.
Show me your friend and I'll tell you who you are.
And I'll tell you who you are. So they are also learning. Wherever you put them, they learn from it. You cannot want to water a plant and not water it well. Because you want to see it grow, you want to see it thrive. So whatever you are doing, you are putting in your best according to your capacity and capability, with the good intentions that you are going to be tested, you are going to be asked about whatever you have given these children. Like I would bring an adit that everybody is responsible, is a shepherd.
All of you are shepherds.
Shepherds.
All of you shall be called to account.
Yes.
On how you have tended your flock.
Yes. Also, good manners. Good manners starts from how you speak to the children. How kind are you? They see how you speak. They hear how you speak. You know, we're in a world where we are just relearning so many things when it comes to parenting.
Absolutely.
We are relearning and unlearning so many things that we have, you know, subconsciously gathered. Yes. And Islam has come is a balanced religion. There's no biases in Islam.
Okay.
If you can just follow the footsteps of the Prophet and how he did it, you will definitely be successful.
So invariably, we want to be compassionate the way we relate with our children.
Yes, kind words, show compassion. Children will always make mistakes. Children are there to learn. They will test waters. They will test your boundaries. But with compassion, you will get through to them. With kindness, you will get through to them. With patience.
So it's not about the fear factor. If your daddy comes, he will beat the hell out of you.
It's not the fear factor. Behave. That was what was used in our own time.
Okay.
But alhamdulillah, technology had not taken over the world like it has now.
Okay.
So the fear factor, by Allah's mercy, I would put that, worked.
For us, somehow, back then. Yes,
back then, somehow by Allah's mercy, that's what I would say.
Okay.
It worked for a majority of us.
Okay.
That yes, because we had the fear of Almighty Allah, somehow, and we had the fear of our parents. But now that technology has taken over, the world is changing. Yes. We need to learn how to find our balance in it.
Because generally today, actually, they look back and they're like, come on, daddy, why? And they ask questions and they challenge.
Yes.
So should we see it as probably challenging our authority or probably they're actually seeking clarification?
Now, thank you for that question. Even in our own time, we did ask questions. Okay. Some of us had the courage to. That's something that basically about children. They will ask questions. They are very they are very, very, that is the nature Allah has given them. They will ask. So when they have asked, is the response that we have given them as adults or parents around them that will let them continue to probe for that or shut them off?
But sometimes it actually get frustrating because I have a daughter and she can ask
and that's why I
was like, see, come on, it's all right, I'm tired, stop asking, come on now, Appa, have pity on me, it's just too much. See, I don't know. So is that how we should probably respond, or we actually should be, like you said, compassionate in providing answers to some of their poses and questions?
No, we cannot respond in that way. That's not the best way to respond. Even though it might be frustrating, it might be tiring, it might be exhausting, coupled with the fact that of what we are going through as parents. Yes. So when a child comes and asks, that's definitely not the best way to go about it.
Okay.
The best way to go about it, my dear brother and my parents out there, is to find your own peace. This child wants to know. And it's your mindset. For this child to ask me this, if we do not take time to teach our children from the home, the society out there will teach them what we do not want them to do.
That's incisive.
Which will, definitely, the society will teach them, because that thing, you have not satisfied that need, that question they are asking. They've not gotten the answer that
and,
is satisfactory.
And they'll seek it somewhere else.
They'll seek it somewhere else. So as a parent at home, it's your mindset. This girl that is questioning me, or this child that is asking this question, definitely he wants to know something. And if I, you know, we should find, when I say mindset, again, the child is not, a child is coming to you and you already have myself, if you want to disturb me, he wants, sorry about that, he wants to disturb me, he's asking too many questions. That way you cannot be calm to respond to that child. You will not be calm. But when you see the child in the light, and that's what something about Prophet, he was very calm, he was very compassionate, he was very gentle. Yes, we might not be on the same level, definitely, but when you, you know, you see him as your role model, you want to follow his footsteps. We will only try, but we have the intention of trying. A child has come to ask me a question. He definitely wants to know the answer. How am I going about answering that question? Am I going with intention to, you know, add to his knowledge, how do I say, calm the security, curiosity, whatever he wants to know, answer it in a way that is yes, definitely might not be able to satisfy all questions, but you have done your best and ask the child to, you know, ask Allah to bless that knowledge for that child. But not that you are shutting the child out or pushing the child away. The child will definitely go somewhere else. And that's not what we want.
All right. Okay. So, how then, with all these that you have said, so how then is it for parents, how can they instill strong Islamic values in their children from an early age? Because you see something like, please, this is not too much, or is it too early, or is it too late, when is it too early, when will it be too late, or when is actually appropriate? So how can parents go about instilling some of these values of Islam as exemplified and demonstrated by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam?
Thank you for that question. How will I start from? Okay, so this is what I would say. You know, we're in the area where everybody wants their child to go to school, and you see people wake their children up as early as, particularly a career parent that has to get to work at one particular time. You're waking up your children very early enough for school, for junior. And we forget the ultimate thing, or the ultimate purpose of why we are here. It amazes me when I see parents do that, but you know, it's not in my, I can only encourage them and say, okay, if you're waking your child this early for the, have you woken that child up for Salah, or you have taught that child that this is why you are here? There's a purpose for you to serve, which is, it is compulsory, and that's what you'll be questioned about.
So they must help them find the purpose of existence.
First of all, let them understand that purpose. They are, that's why I said they are learning from us. And if we as parents are not unlearned and relearned and begin to continue, as in continuously learn on serving your purpose in every ramification Allah has put you in every space, there's no how you can be able to teach or model it to children. So children start early. Help them understand their purpose. Not only find, understand that purpose. That I'm here to serve Almighty Allah. And it starts from early. What you say to the child, how you behave with the child, how you relate with the child. So people force their children to the masjid. It's not by force. It's even the Quran. You do not force.
You encourage.
Yes, you encourage. You do not force it on anybody. So even with children, you need to be gentle. Teach them the essence of going to the mosque. Teach them the essence of connecting with Almighty Allah for everything that they need. Not you as a parent. It's not when they come to you, mommy, I need bread. You are giving them the bread. Let them understand that that bread comes from Almighty Allah. Not from you as a parent. Connecting with Almighty Allah, understanding their purpose. When you model that, you begin to expose them to it, put them in a community where they continuously learn Islam, good manners. And the, you know, Islam is a very universal language. It's for everybody, anyway, any day, anytime.
Anywhere.
It will not go out of existence. By Allah's mercy. So it's not because it's one era or it's one time. It is very, very universal.
Okay.
And starting to teach your children early is the best thing.
Yeah, all right. That's
with a lot of compassion.
Sincerely. But as you're just saying it, see, the picture that keeps coming to my mind is the picture of my daughter and the way, you know, I relate with her and things like that. So I'm trying to just, you know, imbibe and internalize all that you're saying, and like, I'm realizing some of the mistakes I have made, or I continue to even make. So now, looking at this, as parents, we have our faith and our character, our own individual behavior. So now, what role does, you know, that faith and our own individual character or behavior play in shaping a child's Islamic upbringing?
The role of a parent's character and faith.
Yeah, in, you know, shaping a child's, you know, upbringing, Islamically.
Okay, so I'll start with the parents. The, like I said, we're talking about role modeling here. I've been talking about role modeling. And as parents, yes, we all grew up in a society wherever we found ourselves. We picked up some certain behaviors. We have our own personal, you know, personality and all that. But something about faith is that once you are so grounded in your faith, faith is supposed to remodel you. You know, it was said in an ajit that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to what? Perfect our character.
Yeah.
He came to teach character. And that's one thing I see these days that is so missing. Back then, our parents were not so, how would I say,
so they knew religious, like that. But in terms of attitude, behavior, the morality, top notch.
Mashallah for them.
So, but they today we actually seem to be more religious than godly, actually.
Yes, we are missing it. We are, because we have trivialized all those things that, you know, counts in Islam. Morals is basic. That's what the Prophet has come to teach. That's what the Prophet has come to, you know, correct. Everybody has their behavior. If you look at back then in the
pre-IT age and...
Everybody had character. But once Islam came in, people decided to modify their character. They began to drop things. And that's what faith is all about. That is what faith has come to do.
To remove
so even
us.
As a parent, you want to talk to a child about being respectful. How have you talked to that child? Have you respected that child, or you are teaching them how to be respectful? Not that you shut your child up. You want to teach a child about responsibility. Have you acted responsibly so that the child can see you? Not that you just by your words. I tell you, I'm a counselor. I work with schools. You know, I go to a school to start working with them, and I noticed something. When I grew up, where I was growing up, when an adult is coming, it was taught to us that and you know you are going to cross the same pathway. You have to calm down and wait for that adult to, you know, move. But that time I got to that school, the children were, both of us were on the same path, and they were struggling me. They were pushing, you know, trying to make their own way. And in my mind, I was like,
this same world.
This same world. I mean, it's a Muslim school, and I'm wondering in my brain, do Yoruba? Don't children have respect?
They not teach
that's
them
what came to my mind. Did they not teach them well? That's what came to my mind.
Go to the university, you go see them.
I agree with you, my brother. And that's why I said I work with schools when it comes to these things. I thought to myself, okay, so if I want to teach these children to be respectful, it has to start with me. How am I going to choose? How am I choosing to talk to them? I need to connect with them. I need to show them what respect means.
So invariably it is reciprocal.
It is reciprocal. And that's what I tell them. Yes, it's a journey, because if they are hearing it from school, they are not hearing it from home. Neither are they hearing it in the society. But I believe that that small impact that Allah has used me as a sabab will do something. When I talk about responsibility to Almighty Allah, responsibility to your parents, responsibility to your environment, even the school authority. How do you show responsibility? To the environment, I'll give you an example. I drink water, I throw it on the floor. I drink, I take snacks, I litter the floor. That's not being responsible. And as a Muslim, all these are, character is just all on it for us as Muslims. And you're not in a Muslim school. You should be an exemplary figure. You need to, you know, it has to be all in all. And I have to tell the school owner, this is it. If you don't, if the parents are missing out on that, we as a school owner, it is an honor on us. The children in our space at that period of time, what are we choosing to teach them? It is beyond maths and English, or when any academic. It has to be holistic.
All right. So I love the fact that you emphasize this, because there is a need for us to, you know, understand, comprehend, and imbibe the message. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was reported to have said that faith and morals, they are like two sides of a coin, Whoever loses one automatically loses the other. So it's not about the fact that, yes, I'm religious, I go to pray, I do this, I dress, you know, in religious attire, I do this. It's must reflect in our relationship with people around us. And that's very, very key. So I love the fact that you mentioned that. Now, so very quickly now, because we live in a world where we have a lot of distractions. So how can parents ensure that their children remain committed to their faith? I'm saying this because now I have seen a situation where I have people that I can mention, count, and point to that were religious at some point. But some of them, by virtue of probably now, they got more exposed educationally, so to say, or some even traveled out of Nigeria. Now, I know about 2-3 people now. They have left Nigeria, and the minute they left Nigeria, they went to the Western world. They have turned atheists. So, and so many other distractions that you have in the society today that actually conflict with the religious, teaching and, morals. So, how can parents, help or ensure that their children remain committed to their faith, regardless of the distractions that we have in the society today?
Now, Jazakumullah Karen for that question. May Allah ease our affairs.
Amen.
Yes, it starts with us as parents, like I said, understanding that this is an amana, and you put in your all, despite the distractions, take that the era that we are in, put in your all, strive, pray. How do we start? Yes, people that go outside. It's a general thing. You find in families, you have an uncle like that too. When they go out there and, may Allah not let us lose ourselves.
Amen.
The first thing I would say is letting children understand their purpose, giving them grounded knowledge that, yes, wherever you find yourself, you cannot or you should not. Let them understand it. It's not about telling them alone. By Allah, I will tell you, our prayers did not do much, but Allah guided us.
Yes.
It was just by Allah's mercy. And it could be that as a result of prayers that our parents, they continuously pray for us children.
Seriously.
So we cannot remove that part of prayer, but we need to do our own duty as parents. Give them that grounded knowledge. It has to be firm and anywhere they find themselves, their character, like I said.
But how about exposing them to, will it be appropriate for us to actually make them aware of some of these issues or some of these distractions that are out there and probably assist, so that in the way we are training them and developing them and actually exposing them, we need to let them know that, okay, this kind of, jahiliya, so to say, exists.
These acts
of ignorance or, immoral acts. They exist so that we can prepare their minds. Or will it not be also that probably something that they are not even aware of and we're already exposing them to it? So how then do we create that balance?
Alhamdulillah, finding balance. These things that you're talking about had happened before. It's in the zero. But we don't connect our children to zero. We don't connect them to zero. So if you want to bring a real life situation or real life experience, take it back to the time of our
predecessors.
Yes. Take it back to that time. Let them connect with it that it happened. And Allah had already spoken about it. The Prophet had mentioned it. That way you are finding a balance. You cannot bring a real life, the one that is happening around us.
Okay.
I remember a case that happened where, we have children in Taffy school and all that. And there was this case of a girl that was half naked, and she was reciting Bakura.
Wow.
It went viral. I don't know if you get me. And our children have access to these things. Wow. They have access to social media.
Yes.
They have access to gadgets. So whether you say it at home or not
they would see it. They would have access to it.
Why not just
prepare
as parents,
their minds as ahead?
Yes. Ahead. Sit them down. So when that thing happened, I work with children. I get a lot of children. I said, I'm sure you have seen this thing. And if you have not seen it, let us hear their own view.
Okay.
I work with teenagers more. They expressed that they started saying things like, somehow cursing the girl. And I said, see, I use this as a point of what I say, correction and teaching, a learning opportunity for them. May Allah not test us. That's what I told them. So you can sit in your spaces and judge people.
Yes.
May Allah not put you in that particular situation. Because don't think that you are better than anybody.
Yes.
These are things that have happened with our pious predecessors. And prophets use those things as examples.
Yeah, absolutely. So, absolutely.
Besides grounding your children with that knowledge, that way, they're already, in fact, there are some things you think that you're hiding from your children. They know more than you.
Yes, yes.
They know more than us.
Seriously.
So the ones that we know more than them is what we should let, you know, shine.
All right.
Use your every opportunity to teach them. Every opportunity. Not to get angry or resent them. Teach them because they do not know. If they knew better, they would do better. May Allah ease our fears.
All right. I mean. All right. So the program is still Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7. We'll be going on a short break. When we return, the program continues. Please stay with us.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a beautiful way. Do you know what Allah says? He says that life's a big, big test. He says that life's a borrowed space, returned upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a beautiful way.
If you just joined in, you are listening to Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7. The program is Everyday Muslim, and we are discussing parenting Islam with a focus on raising righteous children. All right, so and our guest is Hajia Fatima Samuel. She is an educational manager, she is a counselor, and an advocate of faith-driven comprehensive psychosocial support services within the education sector. All right, so we are discussing, like I said, parenting Islam, raising righteous children. All right, so you can be a part of the program by calling the number 07000 917 917 07000 917 917. You can also send a message via SMS or WhatsApp to 0703 175 6537. I'll take that again, 0703 175 6537. All right, so very quickly now, since we'll be expecting your messages and your calls, let me quickly ask some of these questions. And Hajia Fatima, I would want you to probably give short answers so that we can probably take interactions with our listeners. All right, so now, how does Islam expect parents, to balance discipline and compassion while raising their children? You know, generally, when we were growing up, what we were taught is spare the rod and spoil the child. So, because we want to enforce discipline. So, how then do we, get that balance? You don't want to hurt the children. You want to be compassionate, but at the same time, you don't want them to get spoiled. So, you want to enforce discipline. So, how do you navigate between discipline and compassion, from the viewpoint of Islam?
Now, Jazakallah Khairan for that question. Viewpoint of Islam, compassion and discipline. Islam is a religion that is balanced. We need to find balance. So, and at the same time, as you're finding balance, there's no balance that is like what the Prophet has taught us. Speaking lessons from sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from the Sunnah of the Prophet. How did the Prophet relate with children? And that's why, for me, the way we are brought up, if you do not begin to unlearn it, some of us have subconsciously learned that any child that does anything, the first thing to do is to hit that child. Because that's how we were brought up. Is that the best way? Is that the only way? I was in a school, I'm going to keep it short, and the teacher was telling me that the children are indisciplined. And I said, what's your definition of discipline? What's your own mindset about discipline? Discipline is not punishment. Discipline is not beating. Discipline is you setting standards and setting boundaries. And children love standards and boundaries. You need to let them know it. This is what is acceptable generally. This is what is accepted to be as a parent. This is what is acceptable in this house. And there are consequences for it. Letting a child to understand that is very important. And as a parent, I say about role modeling. You don't go around, you know, you as an adult throwing tantrums or going out with foul language. I don't expect you want a student to be disciplined. As adults, are we disciplined?
Okay.
Because they see and learn from us.
So we should enforce the same standards of you know, discipline that want them to imbibe when probably we are also culpable. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Yes.
All right.
We also play it out. They see it. Mommy is disciplined. She has said this is not acceptable. She's not doing otherwise. I cannot use your foul language in my house. You don't want your child to use foul language, but you're also using foul, you are using foul language in front of the child. That's not discipline. And you need to come with the compassion. Children will test you, like I said earlier, when we were asking a question.
All right.
How have you tried to manage that situation?
So self-restraint, your own emotional intelligence too. So
it's important.
Matters. When dealing with children. All right, so now can we mention some other practical ways by which a parent can create you know, a very strong you know, Islamic environment around their home where you are enforcing discipline, you are enforcing the fear of God, you are enforcing adoption of, you know, ethical standards within, you know, the home, you know, in practical ways now, so that these parents say, it's like all this is as any theories here. You don't know these kids, they can be this, they can be that. So now in practical terms, so how can we, you know, enforce this or ensure that, you know, the environment
practical
is
terms.
All right, go ahead.
Now, practical terms, when you say that, yes, they say it's very relative. You as a person, as an individual or a parent, what are your own standards? What are your own moral standards? That is where you act upon. Because if I tell you what works for me, it might not work for you. I don't know if you get me.
I understand. So yes. There are peculiarities within each home.
Peculiarities. And children are different.
Okay.
Even within the same home.
Yes.
But you need to have your own standards and boundaries. This is what is acceptable here. What are your own moral standards as a parent, as an individual? And by doing that, I told you, you need to connect to the Quran and the Sunnah. Follow what the Prophet has said. There's no better way. There's no. That's the most practical way. With compassion. What are your own... The Prophet was a very kind and compassionate person.
Yes.
Even
yes.
In his speech.
Yes.
Have we tried that out? Even in my speech to my children. How compassionate have I been?
How tolerant am I to probably different opinions
to issues, to opinions? Everybody has an opinion. It's how they perceive it that they will say it or act it. Have you been able to accommodate and understand what perception, of, you know, that person is coming from, whether as a child or anything? Then you as an adult that has experience or wisdom will know how to manage it.
That is different from yours, doesn't necessarily make, you know,
that
it wrong.
Yes. So in the home, what standards have we set? What are your own boundaries? My children know that there are certain things that are not accepted to me, and they cannot bring it to the house.
All right. Okay.
So as a parent, have you set that standard? Do you let them understand that boundary? How compassionate have you related it to them? How respectfully? Let them understand that. That's the most very practical. Follow the way of the Prophet.
Okay. All right. Good. Now, because... especially with this era of japa, and people are, you know, running out of the country, going to some other societies. At least when I say African society, in terms of our ethical standards, we're still very, very high. Religious-wise, we are there. But now people are finding themselves in, you know, non-Islamic society or even secular societies where religion probably is just restricted to the places of worship, or where even in some societies, you might not even have religious houses anywhere around you. So And you're raising children in this kind of society. So how can or how should parents address the challenges of raising their children, you know, with Islamic values in such, you know, non-Islamic societies?
Now, exactly, okay. Islam has been well explained to everybody, except we do not understand it. You know, yes, we find ourselves in non-Islamic societies. Is maybe it's only the place of worship we have. Like I said the first other time, letting your children understand their purpose, having grounded, you know, Islamic values and principles, knowing it to the core. But when that environment is not convenient and you are not having community, Islamic, you know, community where you like minds, people that are of the same, what would I say, akida as yours, migration has been made easy for us. When Makkah was not convenient or conducive for the Prophet, he migrated. So forcing yourself to stay there, yes, in our times, I don't think our times were harder than their times anyway. That's my own thinking.
You might not be wrong, but then, you know, you have a situation where people are actually now being forced to move away from places where they have these religious communities around them to places where you don't even have any of such religious communities because of the economic challenges. That's why I gave the example of those. For instance, people are being forced to leave this country because of economic survival, to run away from this country, and they are going abroad or going to some other places, some because of work, some for studies and things like that, and they needed to probably move their family members together with them. So they find themselves in strange lands, and it's not easy going back to probably where they came from or where they know probably they have such communities because of even the cost of movement and things like that. So how do they navigate this challenge?
Okay, my brother, let me just keep my response to that because I will have expanded it for you. But I'll keep the response to that. They found themselves there.
Okay.
What they would do, what I would suggest, was continue to pray. There's nothing Allah cannot do. What Allah cannot do does not. He will do it because you continue to pray. But there are options.
All right.
When you say they've moved away from this country because of... Now you have to... And there's something called the priorities. What are their priorities? If your deen is your priority, because you know you'll be questioned on it, questioned about it on the day of judgment, you need to weigh your options.
So should you give preference to our hereafter, you know,
give preference to your hereafter. This dunya is for a period of time and you cannot be here forever. Even if you put in your best, Allah has given us options. He has made it easy.
Even if you become the richest man in the world, your hereafter matters, right?
Matters a lot. So as a parent, before you take such decisions, consider your options.
So these are things that people should consider before thinking of even traveling. Yes. So it should not just be about themselves, but about the hereafter,
of themselves life.
And that of their children, their family. So their hereafter should be part of, you know, the whole planning.
In their mind. Okay. Yes, in whatever decisions they want to make, your hereafter.
I love this I love that you are putting that, because a lot of people really, that's not even part of you know, the discourse. It's just a case of, I need to get out of this country and an opportunity beckons. I just have to go. Whether or not it will be suitable for the family members
or
things
not.
Like that. Because even beyond just even the faith, the kind of, you know, standards in some of these other societies where, for instance, someone is telling you that, you know, you are in the same class as someone who says, I identify, you are a male, but I identify as a female. And, you know, God. So, and a lot of people really are not considering that.
They're not considering their hereafter. Because if you put that as first before you begin to make plans of, Allah is everywhere. Allah is sufficient for you. If you do not hold on tight to that rope and have that strong faith and conviction that wherever you are, Allah's mercy encompasses everything. And you are doing it for Allah's sake.
So and migrating there because of, it's even a question of faith now. So it means that it's not just about the fact that you just want to travel, knowing fully well that wherever you are, Allah is enough for you. So you don't have to travel before, you know, Allah will actually bring your means of sustenance.
For those people that have found themselves there, if they can, by Allah's mercy, Allah make it easy their affairs, it's a tight one for you. Keep praying. Allah will pave way for you.
All right.
So somewhere that is better.
All right. Because I read in the news this week, a teacher lost his job because he's seen a male and they want him to address the child as a female. And
as a female.
No, mm-hmm. I'm not. This is what I'm seeing. You cannot. I said, for that reason, you just have to leave.
Leave the job.
So imagine if probably someone now decides to travel away from this country, probably UK is throwing up opportunities for school teachers and things like that, and decide to travel on that basis. And this is what you have to contend with. So imagine losing your job because of that. So where would you start from again? All right. Jazakumullah khair. So now, we live in a world where technology and social media has actually, they have actually taken over, really. So what strategies can parents use to navigate the influence of, this technology and social media while nurturing the, the Islamic principles in their children?
Nurturing Islamic principles with the era that we're finding ourselves is quite a challenge, but it's something that can be overcome. For me, I would say, as a parent, when I said it before, setting boundaries, setting limits is very important. The children are so distracted. I know this is what Prophet has said thousands of years ago, that towards the end of time, a lot of things will come up. This is one of the signs of the last hour. And as a parent, we have an understanding, and we have an understanding about that. What are we doing as parents to, check and balance our situation? Setting limits is very important. And that limit, letting your children understand the limits of Almighty Allah, whether you are there or not, as a parent, because you cannot,
You
cannot be there, yes. But let them know that Allah is with them everywhere they are, and everything they do, Allah sees it. Letting them understand the boundaries of Almighty Allah, the limits of Almighty Allah. Yes, I've given you a gadget because of the area we're finding, maybe because of communication or that, but what are you choosing to do? Like I tell my children, endeavor to wherever you found yourself, whether on social media or anywhere, endeavor to be a good Sabbath. Try to teach people what is good. Leave a good mark there. And you know what is what Islam or Allah, what for me I believe is that whatever you choose, Allah, if you are choosing good, definitely good will always come your way. Allah makes you a Sabbath for good because you intentionally want to be a good person. You want to impact people's lives. So as a parent, when you are teaching your child that this is what is important, life is for a short period of time. We see children die. We see young people die. What are they dying upon? So as a child, as a parent to a child, what you have to teach them is them to understand their own purpose, understand the boundaries of Allah. So wherever they are, wherever they find themselves, it goes with them. And you as a parent are modeling what is good. When I say set limits in the house, if it's 10 o'clock, everybody should drop their gadget. Drop your gadget.
Big battle.
Yes, my brother, I agree with you. But we as a parent need to be firm and compassionate at the same time. Firmness and compassionate.
Okay.
Set the boundaries and let the boundaries be understood. Not just set it. Let it be understood. And everybody's applying, is adhering to, even you as a parent, you're adhering to it. Because they see you. You cannot say one and you are doing three and four.
You are not higher than the values you're trying to set.
Yes. So as a parent, besides you praying, you be praying for them at the same time, you set your boundaries, let them understand the boundaries of Almighty Allah. You are not there with them, we will not do check and balance. But Almighty Allah is doing it. You should also do it yourself as a child. That is what you should encourage them to do. And let them mix with good people. Who are their friends? Let the kind of the friends they have, let them come home to the house. Not like when we were growing up, you dare not bring a friend to the house. Things have changed.
Yes. So you must know the kind of friends that they keep.
Yeah, they are keeping.
So to see if at all is in their best interest or not.
Not. So I tell my friend, who is my child, you say that person is your friend. What's that person adding to your life? What value is he bringing onto the table? And what are you also adding to that person's life? If there's no exchange of value, standards, please don't call that person your friend.
I love that.
So as parents, you should know who they are in company of. And the prophet has said, the person you are, rolling with is who you'll be,
The Allah is
our face.
Allahumma ameen. So, all right. So, for those of you that are listening, the program is Everyday Muslim on WFM 91.7. You can be a part of this discuss by calling the number. All right. We even have a caller on the line. Hello. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa
Hello.
Good morning, sir. Amma.
Now, good morning. Salaamu alaikum.
Alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
All right.
I really want to thank our guest for, you know, dissecting this topic today, and you have really learned a lot.
Hmm.
But I have a question, though.
Okay.
Go ahead,
please.
So, the question is, you know, why for some of us that are not, that are a little bit of age, not this Gen Z people, so the way we are trained by our parents to ensure that we comply with some certain safe standards, values and principles, which we call discipline.
Okay.
It also entails beating. So, but we notice that these days, the kind of training the children receive does not really incorporate that.
Okay.
Or let me say, children does not incorporate that style of parenting.
Okay. So, Inveria, are you trying to say that? Are you trying to say that, okay, should we incorporate beating into our system? Is that what you're trying to ask?
No. At what point? How do we balance that? Because it seems at our own time, it's at the extreme.
Okay.
And now it is at the other extreme. So,
I said it is de-emphasized now, right?
Thank you so much. So, how do we now balance it to ensure that we don't miss on that
point? Okay, all right.
Or at the old.
Okay.
So that we still use it, at what point do we, you know, do we consider it necessary?
Okay, all right. So, Hajja Fatima Samuel will provide answers to that. Jazakumullah khairan. Thank you very much. We appreciate your call.
No.
All right. So, at what point can we say, okay, in trying to enforce discipline, we might actually have to use, the cane or whatever?
May Allah is our first.
Ameen.
Yes, like he said, we're trained with cane. And that's a known fact. In our own era, it was the cane.
Yes.
There was no sparing the child. Mm-hmm. And so, but did it, maybe that time, but there's no how. It left some mark in us.
Hmm.
Whether we agree or not. That aside.
Okay.
I usually ask, you say we are Ahlus Sunnah, we follow the Prophet, we are following the teachings of the Prophet, we are this, we are that. How many of the Prophet's
children or people around was it, them?
Yes, did he whoop?
Hmm.
If you do not go back to how he managed and treated children, children will be children.
Yes.
That is where Allah is wired.
I have not seen it anywhere. Where probably should use cane or anything.
Cane, it wasn't. There's no part of the story that he did it. And if you say we want to follow him, we follow him wholeheartedly.
Hmm.
Not that we remove one and follow one. The one that suits us.
Okay.
So for me to answer that question, I grew up with beating too. I used to beat my children.
I get cane for house.
When it comes to we beat them. But what I started to unlearn is that when you treat a child with respect. How do you teach a child with respect? Have we taught the children? We as parents are to teach, first of all. But we sit in our spaces and assume that they should know.
All right.
They don't know. They didn't come with any manual blueprint.
So we should not assume they know.
No, you don't assume. Have you taught them as a parent? And how, you know, some people that you would teach them, they still don't understand.
Yes.
You need to continuously teach with a lot of patience.
Yes.
With a lot of patience.
For them to understand.
And respect. Yes. For them to understand. Like I said, I work with a school. When I get to the school, I'm a counselor. I can't use cane. I don't even use cane.
Yes.
But you see their teachers flog them. And I tell them, for your teacher to flog you, you have just disrespected your own self, not the teacher. Because if you have done what is right, because I know Almighty Allah has given us that instinct.
Yes.
We can differentiate from what is right from wrong.
All right. So I want us to... So on this now. Because I love the fact that you mentioned, you even trace it back to the Prophet ﷺ, that did we read anywhere that actually used the cane? So since we actually didn't see it, so the question would have been, if we're now trying to say we are trying to emulate his standards, so where then did we get our own? I love that. That's that. And even for the fact that if probably someone is almost saying, at what age? Like, I have answered this kind of question to when someone asked me. I said, well, if I had to go by the standards, Fred said, okay, train your children to pray at the age of 7.
Yes.
You can then beat them to it probably at the age of 11. Mm-hmm. At the age of 10. Now, and the question then is even that, what is even to the extent? Because you must not even beat up to what we call probably like capital punishment and things like that.
Yes.
It's not even a capital punishment that you say, okay, it has to go corporal like that and you have to say. So, and it even said that you must not beat their faces, you must not do the... Then the question is, how then do we even control our temper and things like that? So, if I said that, so it means that if at all you even want to beat any child, the child must probably attain the age of 10. And when a child attains the age of 10, you don't even need to beat before they actually do the right thing.
Yes.
I love
because
that.
When you started the program, you mentioned that the first 7 years you play with them.
Play with them, yes.
How many of us play with our children?
That's another issue now. So don't be comfortable Yoluru in the house, please. Fathers, especially.
Sorry?
I said, don't be comfortable Yoluru in the house. You know, the tormentor.
Yes.
You're supposed to be a mentor and not a tormentor.
Thank you. Mentor. How many of us play with our children? The prophet has, Islam is so beautiful and complete. Play with them. There's the reason why he was said to us. When you have played with them, they will have tried some things on you. That you know that, no, this is not working.
All right, probably let me even chip this in. Let me ask you this. Do they even have a right at all? The children, what rights do the children have? Because we are closing now. So what rights do the children have that we actually need to also respect as parents? And what probably advice would you give to parents out there so that they can raise not only devout Muslims but also compassionate and socially responsible individuals? Plus, let's just do that in the next 1 minute. And so that
okay, so children's rights, according to the deen,
yes,
right to feeding, education, shelter, you know, proper education. And that education is not just our Western education here. Even Islamic teachings.
Yes.
Teachings from within the home, how to socially relate with people. It starts from the home.
Okay.
So for you to do that, start from the home. Build a home that has Islamic values and principles.
Okay.
Not a compromising one. A one that we know that, yes, we are accountable and we are going to be asked about what we have done. With sincerity and good intentions. Relate with your children with compassion, firmness. I will emphasize on firmness. You need to be firm, but at the same time, you are compassionate and kind. Set your standards and boundaries. Let it align with Allah's boundaries and standards. And as parents, we cannot compromise. This is what Islam has said. It has not said any otherwise. We will not use our own intuition to say otherwise and begin to teach the children or, you know, show a role model otherwise to the children. Then when it gets to a point, the children have now grown, you want to correct it. Something you should have done from the onset.
It will be too late then.
It will be too late.
All right, all right.
There's a standard Islam has set. Follow the standard and be intentional about it.
All right.
Then as parents from the old, unlearn those things that they've taught us, that we have subconsciously picked.
Okay.
It is not working. Connect with your children. When I say connect, play with them, teach them.
Interact then with them, feel free with them.
Yes, they know your boundaries, they know that is not accepted to daddy. I need to respect him. You also respect them too.
Okay.
We don't go around making fun of people, making fun of our children when they've done a mistake, or use it to, you know, emotionally blackmail them. All these things can be put in check. How you choose to understand that this thing is a trust upon you and you're going to be questioned about it, and you need to do your best. So that you know you pass and pass well on the day of judgment. Allah is our first.
Allahumma ameen. And also pray for them. Let's pray for them because I know that's one I have not even been doing that. I know our parents do that a lot. So, all right. Thank you very much. I would like to appreciate Hajja Fatima Samuel for the insight that she has shared on the program today. We also like to thank all our listeners, including our caller, especially the regular caller, Mr. Mahmoud, and all those you know, you who are probably are trying but probably could not reach us for one reason or the other. Well, thank you very much. And we do this because we know you are there. So thank you very much for listening to the program today. You can listen again to this episode or other previous episodes of Everyday Muslim on mpac-ng.org. mpac-ng.org. Scroll down and click on the MPAC project to view Everyday Muslim past uploaded episodes. Follow Everyday Muslim on social media, Facebook, Everyday Muslim, on Instagram, Everyday Muslim 01. Inshallah, Everyday Muslim will make its way back to your airwaves next week, same time, 11 a.m., same station, WFM 91.7.